I'm going to turn the mic over to Nina and Frank, who are coming back for Apple round two.
We're back for part two of our demonstration from last time, and we're going to talk about email and Safari, and Frank's going to talk about TextEdit, iTunes, and some of the features in the operating system, as well as hopefully answer some questions that last time people had about some Braille displays and some other things like that. I'm going to talk a little bit about email. One thing too is that with VoiceOver, it can be very personalized. The way that I use it for email might not be the same way that Frank or someone else might use it. Some people develop hotspots, different keys they have, do different applications, or sometimes they might have a script so that they can talk to the computer and actually, instead of using some of the keys, or you can use some gestures as well on the trackpad. But I mainly use the keypad, so that's how I usually access the email. For VoiceOver, the VoiceOver keys are the Control and Option key, which are the second and third keys from the left. Some people will lock the keys, so they don't have to keep pressing those two keys. I don't lock the keys because sometimes you're in other applications and you don't want the keys locked, because some of the combinations that you use with those keys, like if you're going to use Option with another key for something, so I just keep it unlocked. But some people will lock it. To lock the VoiceOver, you do VoiceOver semicolon, and then to unlock it, it's a semicolon as well. Once you get into email, if you use the VoiceOver key and R, that'll read the contents of the row across. And if you use VoiceOver C, that'll read the contents in the email columns. And do CC, it actually read the contents. I'm going to go into email. First, I'm going to go to the dashboard to get to the email.
You are currently on a volume inside of the group.
And I have on...
She has Kyoko for her modifier keys turned on. Later on, when you hear my laptop, you'll see that I have mine turned off. Going back to what you're saying, everyone's is going to be set up a little bit differently. So if you hear something that doesn't jive with what, you know, I did or what she did, don't think there's anything wrong. It's just that there's so much customization you could do within VoiceOver and Macintosh in general that it's going to be a lot of variations between everyone's computer.
Control, Option, Dock, Safari, Mail, Finder, Desktop, Macintosh, Mail, Window, Inbox, 68 messages, 3 unread messages, Table, 1 row selected, Status, blank, Flags, blank, From, Matthew Kagan, Subject, okay. FW, Pictures of Max, Date received.
So now you can see I'm into my email.
51.
Now I'm into the list of my emails. Now, you can start from having it with the date on the top or the date on the bottom. That depends on how you have it set up. And as Frank was saying, that different people will set things up differently. If you hit Function, VoiceOver keys, Shift, and the left arrow, it'll take you back to the top of your list of emails. So I'm going to do that.
Mailboxes, Table, 1 row selected. Column 1, Inbox, Mailbox, 4 unread.
So now I'm back to where it said column 1, so I'm back to the top of my list.
You are currently on a table. To enter this table...
So I'm just going to get into the email, and I will show you that. You can also flag your emails. I don't know if people do that or not, but to do that, you do VoiceOver L to flag it. Sometimes if you will tell that your VoiceOver is junk, you might do VoiceOver J, so that it'll go to your junk folder. Some people like to organize their emails that way. Other people will just keep reading down the whole list.
Drafts, Mailbox, 1 messages.
So as you can see, like, there's the drafts box.
Sent, Mailbox, Drafts, Inbox, Mailbox, 4 unread.
So is this a web-based email program?
This is not. This is actually a program on the Macintosh itself. And just so you know, she didn't really clarify, but when you were hearing her different mailboxes, like her drafts, her inbox, her sent items, she was actually just using the up and down arrow keys, I think, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why don't you compose a message?
So to compose a message, I would do Command-N.
Command. New message. Window. New message. To. Edit text. To. Edit text.
It says to edit text. So when it says
to enter text in this field, type.
When it says edit text, as you know, you would edit the text of who you want to send it to. You can type somebody's name, or you could pick somebody from your address book, or if you do the first name, it'll do the filter, and it'll filter in their name, someone from your address book. And my instructor, he was nice enough to come again. He's in the back, Tom Hagopian. I know Amy had put his information on the website, but he's in my address book, and if I just hit T, his name will come up, and I'll show you that.
T. omthegopiandgopivision@gmail.com. Mail has new window.
So that's the two line of who to send it to.
Selection. CC. Edit text. Subject. Edit text.
So you're tabbing?
And I was just going to say that that's what I was doing. I was tabbing to go through the different fields.
You are currently on a text field. To enter text in this field, type.
And it'll say, like it just said, to enter text in it if it's a field where you can enter. If it doesn't say edit text in there, then something happened and you can't fill in the form.
Shift. H. I. Hi.
I just put that in for the subject line, just because.
Customize header menu button.
Then you can customize the headers, like, you know, if it's priority, urgent, or nothing.
You are currently on the menu button. To choose this menu item, press Control, Option, Space. The help
and
tag
so,
is, choose Customize to select which items appear in new message windows.
And so when it said Control, Option, those are the voiceover keys. If you were going to choose one of the priorities or something else for that part, you do voiceover, which is the Control, Option, and the space bar, which would fill in or accept the little, like, radio button. And then after you do that, you would hit Escape, and then it would go back to the next part, which would be the subject.
Normal priority, pop-up button.
So I'm just going to do normal priority.
Control, Option, press, menu check mark. Normal priority, pop-up button, edit text.
So what I did is I hit the voiceover keys and the space bar, and that accepted it. And then after that I hit Escape to get out of the part where it asks you if you want a priority or normal or urgent. Then when I was done with that, I hit the tab button again, and I got into the subject area. So that's where it said enter text.
Didn't you already enter the subject, though?
Yeah, I did enter the subject. And then after the subject line, it asks you if you want to make it, like, priority, like, the importance. I'm not exactly sure what you call that. But if you want to have it, like, normal delivery, urgent, priority, or if you don't want to, you know, flag it as any of that, you can just go on to the next after the subject area, which is where I am now. It'll say edit text, which is where you would type your message.
Oh, you're in the body.
Now I'm
the
in the body.
Yeah.
But before I was in the body, I was in the part where it's the
the headers.
You're in the headers.
Thank you, Amy.
You're welcome.
Shift H. Shift I. Hi. Space. Shift T O. M. Comma. Tom. Comma. New line. New line. Shift T H. S. Space. I. S. Space. Is A. Space. A. E. M. O. Emo.
Okay. Anyways.
One of those.
Yeah.
Emo.
So you get the idea of what you would fill in the body area. And then to send an email, you hit Command-Shift-D, and it makes like this like airplane sound, and it goes swoosh. And so then you know it was sent.
Command-Shift-Send. Window, spelling and grammar. Emo, edit text, content selected. Emo, edit text,
I forgot
content
about that.
This is like we were saying, you'll hear things that are going to be different to it.
Text field.
Every computer, she has her checker spelling at the end of each message, yeah.
Because I just actually added that feature, so...
Suggested corrections, table, one row selected, ignore button.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
Control, option, mailboxes, table, one row selected, column one, inbox, mailbox, four unread.
Did it send it?
You are currently on a table. To enter this table, press Control, Control, options, window, chooser menu, two items, current... Inbox, 69 messages, 4 unread. Current, untitled.
That's untitled message.
Current, inbox, 69 messages, 4 unread. Current, untitled. Current, inbox, 69 messages, 4 unread.
The untitled is the untitled message.
Okay.
Current,
should I open
untitled.
That?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it, yeah,
system dialog interact with...
No, it didn't go. Let's see.
And here we come to the problem with visuals in the system. What's happened is that Apple has overlaid a sheet on top of the window saying that the mail can't be sent.
Because she has visuals turned on as well.
System dialogue.
So hit Escape.
Yeah. Is it saying that because it's not connected to the Wi-Fi, or why is it?
No. It's because she hasn't corrected her spelling. Isn't that right?
No, at this point, it's the actual sending. That's a problem.
Oh, so it won't send?
The outgoing server won't accept the message. So it's unrelated to the spelling now.
Why won't it accept the message?
The outgoing server won't accept the message. And that's usually just because the computer couldn't connect to it.
You are currently on the text element.
Well, that's the interesting thing. Now that we're actually back in the window, it does. It reads it to you immediately, dialogues. It'll read it to you immediately if you're in the window.
But is it doing that just because we're not on the Wi-Fi here?
No, that's the interesting thing. She is on the Wi-Fi.
Oh.
I think she changed her outgoing server by accident.
For all of you who weren't here last time, this is Tom Hogopian, who's my instructor.
And just so you know, if it's that emo was a voiceover plus the F11P, will toggle the visuals on and off.
SMTP.me. Verizon mail server.
No, you shouldn't be on the Verizon server.
Outgoing mail serve.
That's the problem.
She was on the wrong server. Okay.
Yeah, mobile me won't accept it.
Verizon mail server.
None of them will accept it.
She shouldn't be on any of those.
Yeah. No, none of them work. So we hit escape.
Edit text.
And it tries. And it saves it for later.
Text.
She can't send mail because the outgoing mail server won't accept the message.
Why is that?
Why not?
Why is that? Well, that's usually just because it won't make a connection. MIT could be doing that on their end.
I know sometimes you have to go...
If she's not on the guest network.
MIT, you have to go into the browser.
Oh, no, she's on the guest network, so it's probably not them.
But open up Safari.
I can try this myself.
Because you have to sign in and say, like, your name and I want to connect to the guest.
Oh, do you actually...
let you out.
Because
I didn't
know that. Do that.
Like, you know, does that go into an Outlook box, like a purgatory type thing?
If you closed it, would it go into drafts the way it does with Outlook?
Yeah, you can either close it and save it to drafts, or you can just leave it open and come back to it later. But it's automatically saved to drafts, no matter what, while you're typing it. So it's saved to drafts. So if you have Google, for example, and your computer blows up in the middle of an email message,
right,
it's still on Google's.
What's the advantage of having visuals turned on for a blind person?
For a blind person, nothing necessarily. Other people helping you, if you have a sighted companion assisting you with the computer, that's about all it's good for. There is a screen curtain you can turn on and blank the whole screen.
Okay, but visuals is not just the screen. I mean, visuals is a particular component of math.
That particular visual that happened before the sheet that I referred to, it was a dialogue box. Attached to a window.
Right.
That was going to be there whether visuals and voiceover were turned on or off. That was unrelated to the visuals feature in voiceover.
So can you define what are visuals?
Yeah.
Yeah,
the visuals, for example, are there is a black rectangular cursor around the part of the screen where the voiceover cursor is located. So when she was in the subject text box, there is a black box surrounding it.
So visuals are like a helper that shows visually what's going on?
Right. So if you have reduced vision, the black outline can also magnify everything that's only under the voiceover cursor. And that way, most of your screen can be as is, and only the part you want to focus on is big enough that, you know, to use.
Visuals also include the visual text output of what the voiceover message is speaking.
Which is good in low, you know, volume situations, so you can also read it.
That, well, and also for teachers who are not used to imagine a school setting, a blind child uses a voiceover, and then the teacher is trying to understand a little bit of what's going on in the kid's ears.
Mm-hmm. So, that's it, and also the on-screen menus, like the window chooser that you heard Nina in. That's an actual on-screen menu that's fairly high contrast that is helpful, you know, if you can see.
The window that came over top of her message,
what
they called that interactive dialogue that mm-hmm. came over that message, that had nothing to do with whether visuals was turned on or off.
Exactly.
Could she have read that dialogue so she would have known what it was?
That dialogue would have been read automatically.
But if she didn't hear it the first time, and she was trying, because she did a couple of things to try to get her message back in focus, because
mm-hmm.
it didn't read when she went back to that message, that interactive dialogue was put over it, but it didn't read. Could she have found a way to read that? Is there
yes.
a way to read that once it's already been read and you missed it?
Yes, there is. There is, of course, both a gesture and a key command, but the key command is voiceover F3 to read what's under the voiceover cursor,
okay.
and that black rectangle is the voiceover cursor that I referred to.
Got it.
It will automatically speak the dialogue text, but if you miss it or something interrupts it, or you press control because, you know, the phone rings and you want to mute the output, you can come back to what you're doing by saying, you know, essentially to the computer, where am I?
Well, you actually, to explain, I actually just looked into it on my computer. MIT's network is blocking that port for the outgoing server because it's not an SSL connection.
Oh, okay. There you go.
So.
What is an SSL?
A secure connection.
Yeah.
Thank you, Micah. If you were going to send an email, you would hit Command N to create a new one. You would go through the different fields, and then when you were done, you would hit Command Shift D, and it makes, which we couldn't hear, a little sound like an airplane going off, and that sends it.
Yeah, right, the reason we didn't hear that is because it never sent it.
Right. Well, the same command is Command Shift D. D for deliver. You could also use, and I don't use the gestures on the keypad, but I think there's also a gesture on the keypad that would also... Tom, do you know if there's a gesture if you want to use the trackpad to send?
You can make your own gesture, or there is a spoken command you can use. You can press the listening key on the microphone, or say a keyword and have the computer hear you say, send message, and that will deliver the message. Or you can use the keyboard commander.
What is a gesture again?
A gesture is along the lines of an iPhone, where you flick a finger to do something, or you drag two fingers down to scroll. A gesture is a motion instead of a key command. Nina's better with the key commands, but not everybody is, because they're really hard to remember. Control-Option F2, F2 for the Windows user. It is ridiculous. There are gestures you can do, like swiping three fingers from left to right across the trackpad and have that bring you up the window chooser. Instead of pressing Control-Option-Shift down, she can drag two fingers to the right to interact with something, or two fingers to the left to stop and
drag. When you say drag, do you mean drag them together like this, or do you mean consecutively?
Two actual simultaneous finger drags. It detects two fingers on the pad.
So your two fingers would touch the trackpad at the same time, and they go down.
It's infinitely easier to remember than keyboard shortcuts.
What about, you said junk. You said you could press a command while you're on an email message, and would that put it in your junk folder?
I think if you have an open email and you move into the contextual menu, one of the options is junk.
But I mean, you can't, while you're scanning your email messages, while you're in that, what they call a table.
Oh, in the table view? To actually.
It's Command Shift J.
Yeah.
Okay, so you could just take that and throw it into junk?
Yeah.
It doesn't create a filter automatically, though.
It doesn't create a filter automatically, but if you choose to create a filter, it will use the information from the email that you are currently on.
If you create a different filter for every piece of spam that you get, you're going to be creating a lot.
No.
But it does learn. The junk mail filter learns what is and isn't junk, so you don't have to create a filter for each and every email.
To go over something basic, VoiceOver is the option control key?
It's Control and Option.
Control and Option, which are the second and third keys in from the left on my keyboard. Are they that way on your keyboard?
I'm using a laptop keyboard, I actually have, to the left of my spacebar, I have four keys. I have a function key, which changes the function keys on top row to hardware keys, like most laptops will have. Then I have three keys and a spacebar. So my control key is actually second from the left. And my option key is third from the left. My command key is fourth from the left. And most desktop keyboards, you'll be the same thing, but without the function key.
If you do purchase a keyboard nowadays, you actually have to go out of your way to get the expanded keyboard. They all have the function keys. So they're all laptop keyboards now from Apple.
And one, actually, since we're on keyboards, one thing to note, if you do plug like a standard 101 key PC-style keyboard into a Macintosh, the option and command keys get flipped about. Like the where the alt key would be, turns out to be where the option key is, where the command key would be, that sort of thing. And just those, take those two keys and just flip them about. That's just the way the keyboards present the actual character values. So if you do plug a PC keyboard in, just keep that in mind, that the left side, the modify keys, may be a little bit of different layout.
Can we read it or
Sure.
I don't think Nina's going to get too deep into as far as editing of the text, because after she does that, I'm going to go into text edit and I'll show you some text, editing.
Nina, is it easy to deal with attachments?
I haven't found it easy, but I'm like a slow learner because some people might find it easier than other people.
Does it indicate if it has an attachment in it? Like
it does.
It does. So it reads that?
Yeah, if you heard, like, when she was in her message table,
right,
she's got one of those columns is... will tell you if there's an attachment.
Okay. Yeah, it will
and
tell you that.
Or if you have the column turned on.
You can decide which columns you want on.
And not just which one on and off, but you can also change the order.
Tom, what would you say is the easiest way to open an attachment? I know we went over a few times, and I'm still going over it because I keep screwing it up. That's why I wasn't going to show that, but since you asked it.
When you first go into the message, there are three parts of it. In
all caps lock on, edit.
The first one is the header, so you know who it's from and the date and all that. And then if there is an attachment, there will be a section for it in between the headers and the actual email content. And from that, you can just spacebar and tab around and save to folder.
But you can't open it?
No, you can open it, save to folder, or you can open it right from there, or you can save it to an actual place on your hard drive so that you have it for later. It works just like any other email program would.
Just, I keep screwing up how when you open it, where you save it to.
You can open it directly, and it saves it to mail, the mail downloads folder, and it'll automatically clean it up for you if you ask it.
I'm hearing that there's an awful lot of customizable stuff.
Awfully.
There is a lot.
That can be good and it can be bad.
Yes,
and that's
too much choice.
You just said it better than I tried to say.
Do you have to make those choices?
No,
you do not. And actually, if you listen to last month's presentation, the way I had my laptop, I had it pretty much like almost an out of the box experience. And today, like, you'll hear that mine's a little bit different from last month. So. Yeah.
And if you can't remember all these commands, is there a menu system?
Yes.
That you just do
yes.
Like a window, you like.
Absolutely.
You go to file and you can edit or anything.
Forget about that.
Well, there's that many bar.
Okay, but you talk about voiceover commands. Well, let's talk about two different commands. Like you said, if you go into the menus, it always tells you what the shortcut key is as you move through the items, just like anything else. However, if you want to know some of the voiceover commands, the one command you should memorize is voiceover H.
And it's H for help, yeah.
Good.
And it'll tell you the difference.
And it's more like,
And that's going to tell you a little bit. Out some of the commands, and actually you can even activate some of the commands right through that as well. In fact, I do that sometimes too, because I only remember all these commands myself.
Right.
A lot of times I'll just voiceover H twice, and that'll move directly into the commands menu, and I'll just, there it is, and I'll just hit enter on it.
So if we wanted to go to an attachment and open it, and you didn't remember exactly what the command was, what would you do?
One thing I would do is I would move to the attachment field, which if you open in the message, it's basically a shift tab type of thing. And then you could try like voiceover H and then see if there's anything that says like save attachment, open attachment.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing you could do also is the contextual menu, which we talked about. That's also a great thing. Just as we open the menu bar with voiceover M, the contextual menu is voiceover shift M. There's usually a lot of easy, quick access things with that as well.
There's also an item chooser window, menu, which will describe to you all of the different elements in a window that you can click on, from disclosure triangles to menu buttons. That would list an attachment also.
That gives you, like, every control.
It will describe the entire window to you, so you don't have to search through the window to find every control. It'll just read to you in order from first to last. Everything in the window.
Every control that is currently visible in that window.
Right, like the save attachment button.
But it's an active menu.
Or open attachment
you can
button.
Move right to them. It's not just, you're not just reading them.
It's a voiceover menu, and that's one of the visuals that we talked about.
That shortcut is voiceover I for item chooser.
Whatever you're going to look for, it'll be voiceover in the first letter. But if the letter is already taken, then they go to the last letter of the word. If that's taken, then they go to the second letter. So it doesn't always work that way. But if you're trying to guess at something, it's a good way to start.
Like, for example, in mail that Nina's showing you, even though there's lots of controls on that window, there's two basic structures that you're going to use most often. One is the list view of all of your folders, and the other one, of course, is the message list. And VoiceOver has a nice little jump command that let you jump between those two so you don't have to go through all of the other controls in the window. And that's VoiceOver, what do you think, for jump, Jay? She showed an email, which is a core function, and I'm going to start doing a little bit right now with text edit, which is word processing, another core function.
Before Frank does that, I just wanted to say that if you do Command W, it'll quit the window, and if you do Command Q, it'll quit the whole program. So if you're in mail and you want to get out of it, you do Command W. Or things can be customized. You could do Command F2 twice. It'll say, do you want to close this window? And then you would hit the enter key, to say yes, or you would tab and say no. So there are different ways to do things.
How do you move between windows?
You can move between open applications, I should say, in two different ways. If you just want to cycle through them, it's Command plus tab. if you want to actually get a menu of all the applications, it's VoiceOver plus F1 twice. So first time you do VoiceOver F1, it'll tell you what program you're in. Like, for instance, if you're in Mail, do VoiceOver one, it'll say Mail. Then you do VoiceOver F1 twice, it'll give you a little list of all your open programs, and you pick the one.
I'm so not sure if I'm still in Mail, but let me see if I am.
Safari 3, running applications.
Okay, did you hear what she said? She did VoiceOver 1, and it said Safari. So right now she's in Safari, and she has three running applications. So if she did VoiceOver 1 twice in a row...
Control, Option, Application Chooser Menu, 4 items.
Okay, so now it said Application Chooser Menu, and there's 4 items in there, and she could move through it to find...
You are currently in a VoiceOver menu. Visit System Dialogues Menu. Previous, Mail Menu. Current, Safari Menu.
Okay, so the previous was Mail. That was the last thing she was in. Current, Safari. So it's also telling you...
You are currently in a VoiceOver menu. This is a list of VoiceOver menu options. To navigate up and down the list, use the arrow keys. To choose a menu item, press return. To close the menu, press escape.
It actually answered the question for her. To choose the menu, the item that she wants, she could just hit enter. Or if she just wanted to get out of the menu, hit escape. Now, the correlation to that question of how do you move between applications is also how do you move between windows in the open application. And to cycle through them, you could do command plus the accent key, which is right above the tab key. Or if you want to do it the same way, you could do VoiceOver F2, which will tell you the open window. VoiceOver F2 twice will give you a list of open windows. Once again, it's moving from the general to the specific. F1 for the applications, F2 for the window in the application.
Now, Frank's going to talk about text edit.
Heading level 2, assistive technology for Apple and Mac users. Control.
Airport Extreme Instructions, Monday, February 1, VIBUG meeting, Friday, March 1, 2020.
Okay, TextEdit is a little bit of a word processor. It's simpler than most word processors, but it's more robust than just plain text editor. So we're going to look at that a little bit.
That comes right out of the box when you buy it, so it's not like a separate program you have to buy. If you want something that's more robust, you can buy a program called Pages.
So yesterday I wrote this little passage.
Open TextEdit, window, VIBUG meeting. Edit text. Hello and welcome to VIBU.
Okay, I just hit the controller to shut it up. I found the file in the Finder, and I just did Command O to open it. O for open. Okay. And one thing I spoke about last month is that the way VoiceOver works quite often is it mimics the actions of a sighted person. When a sighted person scans a screen and finds what they want to work on, they focus in on that element. In the parlance of VoiceOver, that's known as interacting. So right now I'm in that passage that I wrote. It's a text field, so I want to interact with that. So I'm just going to interact with that and listen to what it's going to say.
Do you want to
interact with edit text? Word, hello.
Okay, so it said interact with edit text. So we're now interacting with the text on the screen. And let's assume that we just want to read this. Let's go from top to bottom. It's a command to read all. Now think of the mnemonics for this. How to read all. VoiceOver A. So let's try that.
Hello and welcome to VIBUG. This is a sentence on the first line of the text. I want to thank all of you for coming today. I certainly hope that this presentation will make our friends at VIBUG more comfortable using the Macintosh. I hope we have not been too boring. If we were, it is all Nina's fault. Just kidding, Nina.
Okay, so VoiceOver A reads all, so that's everything. Basically, to move line by line, we know what we... pretty much up and down arrow, so let's go to the top here.
Comfortable. I certainly thank all of you for hello. Top of document. Hello and welcome to VIBUG. This is a set.
Now, did everyone hear the bonk? Okay, let's make it bonk again.
Top of document.
That was a bonk. Yeah, it's a little bonk. Instead of being excessively verbose, VoiceOver kind of sometimes gives you nice little audible cues. That means I was arrowing up to the top of the document. I can't go any further. It's saying, you know, Frank, stop it now. You're stupid.
You just
banged your head on the window. Okay, so it's giving you just little clues. And also, if you conversely, you could go move to the bottom and do the same thing.
New line.
Now, okay, so I moved to the bottom. Now listen to it again.
Bottom of document.
Bonk, that's the, you know.
But it still said bottom of document.
Because I just moved to the bottom now. Listen to it here. I'm going to do it once.
Bottom of document.
Actually, let's move up.
New line. All comfortable using a Macintosh. New line. Bottom of document.
Can you opt to have it just do the bonk without telling you where you are?
Yes, I think, let me see what my verbosity is set. I think mine might be higher than normal. VoiceOver V gives you the little menu that's going to, it's a pop-up menu, basically. And that's going to be all your verbosity.
Adjust typing echo. Characters.
Okay.
Text attributes. Numbers. Capitals. When status change at verbosity level. High.
Okay. Mine's set to high, so let's move it down to medium, see if it...
Medium.
Okay.
Stop adjusting verbosity level.
That's VoiceOver V to get that quick little menu to... Let's see if that made any changes there. See, now it just bonks at me. You're going to hear some things that are not quite default. Mine, actually, by default, I think it goes to medium verbosity, and mine has changed to high. So, similar along the lines, I may have been doing something that I wanted it to be high. So let's move back to the top.
Hello.
I'll feed you a little bonk. Let's say we're going to move around this document.
H-E-L-L-O space A-N-D.
And now, I'm moving just by character now, but what did that say? Did it say A-N-E? We don't know, did it? Say we want to find out. What's a good way to find out what kind of character it actually said? How about VoiceOver C for character?
W-E. Echo.
And then this all works by word, too. Like, if you do VoiceOver W, that's going to tell you the word.
Welcome. Whiskey Echo Lima Charlie Oscar Mike Echo.
So the first one tells you the word. Let's do it once.
Welcome.
Do it again.
W-E-L-C-O-M-E.
Second.
Whiskey Echo Lima Charlie Oscar Mike Echo.
That's the third press of the... One of the things you could do is, you know, I want to know what the line is. That if you want to read the line... How about VoiceOver L?
Hello and welcome to VIBUG. This is a sentence on the first line of the text. I want to...
You notice I cut it off in mid-sentence because it's only reading what's on that physical line. But, say for editing's sake, we want to actually hear what it sounds like just that sentence. So you can read by sentence as well, which is VoiceOver S.
Hello and welcome to VIBUG.
Now, say we want to read the whole paragraph. Let's do... What's it? I've got lines.
VoiceOver P.
P, there you go.
Hello and welcome to VIBUG. This is a sentence on the first line of the text. I want to thank all of you for coming today.
Let's move down to the bottom. Let's try entering another line of text. So let's move to the bottom here.
New line. New line. I.
Now listen to this carefully.
Space C-E-R-T-A-R-N-L-Y space A-O-P-E space T-A-R-N space O-F space E. L L P space O space S O M E space O F space Y O U period.
Okay, who was listening really carefully to that?
He was cutting off some of the.
I typed a little fast. Did anybody hear me type help?
Yeah.
Typing in some things that weren't quite right or something.
Yeah.
Well, I did make a mistake in help, but I put in two L's.
Two L's.
Okay,
yeah.
You got it.
Okay. I did.
Let's move back to help.
You up some two. Help.
Now let's read it letter by letter.
Space. Space. H-E-L-P.
Do you notice that? That is only one L? It corrected my spelling from...
Automatically?
Yeah.
But what if it was a word that's not in its dictionary?
Okay, then it will leave it alone. Unless it's 100% certain that it's a mistake. Let me see if I come up with a good example of how to do that.
You. New line. M what spit I-S-A-B-E-L space A-S-A-S-P-O-U-R-S.
Now, I did Isabel, and I didn't capitalize it on purpose. Because if it was capitalized, it would know that it's a proper name, leave it alone. I typed in I-S-A-B-E-L-L. It could actually think, well, maybe he didn't put the spaces on. He's trying to type Isabel. Let's see what it did now.
Yours is what? Isabel, space, space, I-S-A-B-E-L, space.
So notice he left it alone because it wasn't really certain. There's a level of confidence that it has to go over. There's a threshold. And for the most part, I've never seen it fall.
In work, I will use things that aren't words, but they mean something to me because they're abbreviations. Like, for example, I might use S-W-M.
That's a good one. Let's try that one.
New line. A-M. What space I X T A K I X A space
and
S W N space M O D A Y period.
See if it let that
today
one go.
Misspelled S W N.
See what it said? It said misspelled. Because it wasn't sure, but it told us it. Yeah.
Okay. But it didn't change
it. But it didn't change it, yeah.
You can also define custom, like if I typed WRT, I might actually want it to read back to me with respect to, or if I see RE colon, I might want it to say regarding, and you can define custom expansions like that.
So it will actually put those in the text, or will it just read it to you as
that? Automatic text substitution, but you can also customize how it reads back that text.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's a voiceover.
That's
as opposed
the voiceover.
To a,
voiceover.
Got it.
But there
okay.
is a text substitution, so I can type GVC and have it fill in gobivision@gmail.com.
You know, say I was writing an email and I just wanted to say the word, but I wanted to say it with a couple of L's in it because I wanted to say help. You know,
let's do help.
What's going to keep it from automatically correcting what you did? You put in a double L and it removed it without you doing anything. And suppose I don't want it.
And I think this is the logic, and I'm not 100% certain about this. Double letters are a common typo. Putting in five L's is not.
Right.
Let's try doing this. You know? And I think it's going to let it go, but I could be wrong. So.
New line STEVE spit SPOUT period.
Let's actually just read it first, just see how that sounds.
Steve wants to misspelled help us all out.
Okay, so no, it's fine. Let's move back by word, and I'm just using option left arrow to go move by word.
Out all us misspelled help.
So let it go. There's enough logic built into it. Like I said, I haven't been able to break this yet.
I imagine, too, you could turn it off if you don't want it to be
Yeah. In fact, I'll show you how you do. Let's go into the contextual menu here.
That automatic correction applies to things like T-E-H. It turns into the. Sometimes. But it also depends on how fast you type it. If you type it really, really fast, then it assumes it's a typo. If you type it deliberately, it could not change it.
Do you know what the speed is that determines that?
You could probably.
No, it's usually a comfortable pause.
Okay, because I type 90 words a minute.
Yeah, no, you'd probably have to slow down just a little bit.
If you knew you were a fast typist, could you speed up or slow down the speed that it takes for it to decide it's deliberate?
No, that is not adjustable.
Sometimes I type pretty fast when I'm really concentrating, and I haven't been able to fake this. I've really tried, because I thought it was a pretty interesting thing, and I always want to know how the logic works in this. But
now, can you do attributes on this, too, I would assume, or not?
Like font attributes? Let's look at the attributes.
Font bolding.
Do you mean Amy is taking A?
Yeah.
I know, like, sometimes, like, if you want to do something, it'll sound, like, angry, you know.
It has inflection, sort of.
Yeah.
That's the word, yeah. Anyway, let's answer Amy's question here. That's a good one.
Menu bar, Apple.
Okay, so we're going into the menus, and we're going to go into the format menu. I'm going to go to the right arrow.
Text, edit, file, edit, format.
And let's just go down here and see what, you know, kind of things we have. There's a lot of options here.
Format, menu, font, submenu.
Oh, look, it's font, submenu. Yeah.
Font, submenu, show fonts, command T, bold, command B.
Show fonts would actually just bring up the fonts and what's available, yeah. Bold.
Italic, underline, command U.
After each command, it's actually telling you what
are currently
the
on
keyboard
the menu
shortcut
item.
Is. That's available as well.
Outline, styles, ellipsis.
And you could define custom styles.
Bigger, command, small, kern, ligature, submenu.
Kerning and ligature, it's a very visual thing. I mean, I couldn't even really describe it myself.
You are currently on the menu item. Baseline, character shape. Show colors, command shift C.
It does colors as well.
Copy style, command paste style, show fonts.
And you know, they made another one of those little bobs. That's, I got to the bottom of the menu.
Format, met text, submenu.
There's a text submenu.
When you're in those options there,
you are currently on a menu.
I would assume that just as in Windows, like if you're in Word, you have to select the text to which you want that attribute applied, that you need to do that first.
If you just wanted to apply to a certain block of text, you would select it. However, if you just did it right, like if I changed the justification right now without selecting anything, it would do it for that one line. Or if I changed like the font, it would do it from there forward. Yeah. If you want to limit it to a specific set.
It will do it without your pre-selecting the text. Because like in Word, before it changes fonts, for example, like if you want the whole document to be changed, you have to select it all first.
Right.
Well, if you wanted to make sure that you're doing the whole document, you would do the same thing. Yeah.
Okay, so it is the same. You can't just go into that menu and switch
it. Now, do you remember before when Frank did option left arrow to go backward?
Yeah.
If you add shift to that,
with
that
selecting.
Will select the previous word. Okay. And so if you just type a phrase that's a few words long, you can do Option Shift back arrow a few times and then do Command B.
Pretty much anything, any navigation plus Shift is going to select it as well.
It works pretty much like Windows because Word actually started on the Mac.
Font, text, submenu, align left, command left brace.
These are the alignments.
Center, justify. Align right, command writing direction, submenu.
Writing direction, I won't get too far, but you can actually change which way you want it to write.
You are currently check mark, show ruler, copy ruler, paste ruler, spacing, ellipsis.
You could change the spacing.
Align left. Format, menu, make plain text, command shift T.
Make plain text is actually a good thing for a blind person. What it does is it actually...
You are currently on a menu item.
Removes all the formatting and all the attributes. So sometimes if you don't know, if you played around with it and you have no clue how it's going to look, you can turn and just select it all, take it to plain text and start over, or just send it as plain text.
Prevent editing.
Prevent editing, that's just sort of locks the document so you can't...
You can read it, but you can't.
You know, read-only type of thing.
Wrapped a page, allow hyphenation, list, ellipsis, table, ellipsis.
That's saying a kind of like a weird accent, but it's saying list. You could do like listed items.
You are currently on the...
And the next one down the list here is...
Tables.
I haven't actually tried tables too much in this, but it looks just like tables anywhere else, you know. Grid, columns, and rows, yeah. This is the format menu. So I just went into the menu bar and went over to format. And I did it the long way. I arrowed over just so I wanted to hear, so they get the idea of, you know, conceptually where it was. You know, it's about the third or fourth menu over. So we'll get out of that.
Interact with word completion suggestions list below.
One other thing to
you
know,
are currently,
in case anybody's actually going to listen to this on the website, is that you can move to the beginning and end of lines. I know that's very helpful at times. And that's control, you know, left arrow, right arrow. Okay, let's read the line.
Thank all of you for coming today.
I'm going to first do control, right arrow.
New line, period, YA.
And that took me just at the end of today. Now, if we do control, left arrow.
Thank.
It moves me back to thank. Now, let's try it your way. And like I said, a lot of times there's more than one way of skinning cats, so...
Today, thank.
Interesting. It did the same thing.
Control is the Unix.
Yeah.
For anybody
who's around,
Control D will also do forward delete if you're an old school Unix hacker. Those work just because it's a Mac built on top of Unix. But it's not, you know, the official keyboard shortcut. The equivalent to home and end... to get to the beginning and end of a line, the equivalent to that on Windows on a Mac is Command Left and Right Arrow. Because that'll work in any program. Some of those shortcuts, like Control, don't work in the older Mac programs.
Okay, and one other thing, too, is when we talk about VoiceOver F1 to find out, you know, what application I'm in, VoiceOver F2 to find out what window I'm in. When you're in doing text type editing, you kind of like sometimes want to know where you are in that window itself, that document. So the next thing down the row, you know, application document, is where in that document you are, where the VoiceOver cursor is, so, and that one's, you know, F1, F2, actually that one's going to be F3, so let's see what that says.
Currently on line 2, word, thank, character, A, is in the VoiceOver cursor.
Okay, so it tells you line, word, character. That's a good way of keeping your orientation.
And that goes with what Frank would say said last month, that it goes from the general to the specific.
Obviously, as a spell checker, that's pretty, you know, self-explanatory. I'm going to go through the save as dialogue, because I want you to hear the file formats that it could save in. So let's go into the file menu.
Menu bar, text edit, file.
I'm going to go down to save as.
File, open, close, save, save as, ellipsis, command shift S.
Now, I would, like I said, command shift S, that's what I would do, you know, if I was looking at home, but I was giving you an idea.
You are currently on the menu item, save as, interact with dialog, save, save as, where.
Okay, now let's move to the file type.
VIBUG disclosure, where, documents, pop, file format. Bridge text format, pop-up button.
And you know, it said pop-up button, so that means it's going to be a pop-up menu to activate that. It's VoiceOver space.
You are menu check mark, bridge text format.
Okay, so RTF.
Word 9 sec, check mark, bridge text format.
See what else we got here.
Bridge text format with attachments.
With attachments.
Webpage.html.
HTML, if you want to save HTML documents.
Web archive.
Web archive.
Open document text.
.odt.
Word 2007 format. .docx.
.docx. Word 2007.
Word 2003 format. .xml.
And .doc, which is an older Word format.
Word 97 format. .doc. Check mark.
Okay.
Rich text format.
So that's basically
rich text
what I wanted to show you with that.
By the way, did you explain what the ellipsis was?
When you're in the menu and you hear ellipsis, and ellipsis visually is three dots, that means it's going to, if you select that command, it will open up another dialogue, meaning it wants more information, or it wants to give you more information. So there's something else coming up. That,
same in Windows.
Same
yeah.
in Windows.
Yeah, it is.
With text edit, interact with dialogue, alert, do you want to save the changes you made in the document, VIBUG meeting? Your changes will be...
We'll just say no.
Your change, don't save, button, breath, finder, wind, close window.
Okay, now one other thing I want to show you, and I'm going to go through this one kind of quick because this one could go on forever, is iTunes, which is the media player.
iTunes.
So let's open
selected
up that.
Selected alias. Open. iTunes, window, iTunes, sources, table, one row selected, column one, podcasts 1119 unplayed, library.
Well, the first pane or first item element that we landed on here is the sources list. And this is where you start with. Let's look in it and see what we've got.
Movies, music, library playlist.
So that's music, that's a container where you put your music. Because it's my laptop, I don't carry any with me.
Movies, library playlist.
And these are just in there by default.
Podcasts 1119 unplayed, library playlist.
Okay, so obviously I'm kind of behind on my podcasts.
Radio, stream.
Radio stations.
iTunes Store.
iTunes Store, and you could spend money with them. There's also some free content in iTunes as well. Those were the ones that are built into iTunes. You could add your own playlists. Pretty much customize that any way you want. Now, if you hit the tab key, you could actually... That's actually...
Podcast, movies, podcasts 1119 unplayed.
You could tap through the controls on this, and all the controls in iTunes are accessible.
Play button.
So I'm just hitting the tab key.
67.1% volume slider. Text list view switch. Grid view cover float search text field. Blank. Playlist browser. Songs table. One row selected. Status
now,
unplayed.
Now you hear this in the songs table. Just like mail had two items in mail that you use maybe 90% of the time, one being the full the list of inboxes, the other is the list of the mail messages itself. Probably the two most common used elements in iTunes would be your sources list, which we already started, and the songs list. And knowing that, Apple says, well, you know, people are going to want to jump back and forth between those fairly easily. So VoiceOver gives you a little shortcut for that, and to jump. We know is VoiceOver J, so let's watch what happens when we do that.
Interact with sources table, row 4, selected.
Okay, so it jumped me back to the sources table and automatically interacted with it for me, because it figures, well, if you're moving back there, you probably want to interact with it. Let's hit it again, VoiceOver J again.
Interact with songs table, row 1, selected.
And it moves to the
status,
song.
Unplayed, collapsed level 0.
Just like anything else, it's
you
a table.
You are currently on the text element.
There's columns and rows in here, and this is the songs table in that particular. So let's, if you could move left and right, up and down, let's move to the right, and look at the column headers.
Name, The Chris Pirillo Show, collapsed level 0.
Okay, so these are the first one, next column we get to is name, and we can move
you
down.
You are currently
this.
On the text
and I want you to listen to what it says about these.
Computer America, collapsed level 0. Computer and Technology Radio, collapsed level 0. Computer Guys Podcast, collapsed level 0.
What I want you to notice here is it's saying collapsed. So if you think about a tree view with different branches, each branch sort of goes off from A, here's our general to the specific analogy again. We'll start with general categories, and then there'll be specific entries in that category. So we need to expand whatever category we want. So let's say we like that Computer America show. Let's see what's in there.
Computer and Technology, Computer America, collapsed level 0.
And so what we have to do is we have to expand that.
Right now.
I'm sorry?
Right.
You are currently.
Right now.
No. And you would think yes, but actually right now, because we're in a table, so right now is actually like a navigation key.
Yeah.
This is something that, if you didn't know it, you would never figure it out. Anybody know what a pipe key is?
Pipe, P-I-P-E.
Like where the backslash is?
Yes. Like,
yes.
The,
oh, yeah.
It's VoiceOver pipe. Somewhere, you know, their dedication to mnemonics, just fell off diving board on that one. I have no clue about that. Anyway, listen to what happens when I do that.
65 rows added.
I got a lot of those.
You have 65 of those podcasts you can listen to.
So now I'm just going to do the navigation down arrow.
Computer America 03/12 hour 2. Undownloaded pod. Computer America 03/12 hour 1. Undownloaded podcast.
A lot of these I haven't even downloaded yet.
Computer America 03/11 hour 2. Undownloaded podcast.
And if you move to the left, the column to the left is actually a status column.
Status blank.
If we were playing any of these, it would say playing. And maybe we could just play one.
Name
this.
Computer America 03/09 hour 1.
Frank, supposing you didn't want to navigate down one by one by one, is there a way in that thing that you could jump to the downloaded ones, if there were any?
One thing you could do, and I'm not sure if this is the most elegant way, is that you could actually go back up
from the bottom up. Supposing you didn't know how many you'd actually downloaded, and you wanted to find the first one of the downloaded ones that you had.
You could find just undownloaded.
Downloaded? Could you find that?
But there's no way to jump to it, is there?
Well, wait. There is in Windows.
Yeah.
I'm saying, can you find the word on the screen downloaded?
Oh, I see.
And then go to it.
Yeah.
Well, but doesn't that word also exist in undownloaded?
Yeah, it does.
Right, so you'd have to find it another way, like...
Mm-hmm. See, I was hoping that there might be something like, if you were in that status column, that you could hit a D... And jump to the word downloaded, because that would be just the first one that it found.
Doesn't it normally download podcasts that you subscribe to?
Well, it does, but we'll be sitting here a while. So.
No, but I mean in general.
There's no downloaded label. This has been downloaded label.
There's a setting for whether it should download only the three most recent ones or all of them.
Yes, you can do that. Yeah, you could change which ones. How much you want download. However, that still doesn't answer the question, so how would you jump to it?
I think normally the ones that would be either at the very top of the list should be the ones that are downloaded.
But that isn't. Because he was at the top of the list, and the first ones he was hitting were undownloaded.
That may be an option.
Yeah.
That's because I haven't downloaded them yet.
I mean, that's one of the things that I'd want to be able to do without having to, you know, move down through those line by line by line. I'd want to be able to say, I want to get to the first one that I know is downloaded. You know, for a sighted person, that's no biggie because you just look at the screen. But for us, it would be really nice if there was a way to...
But if you set yours up to download the three most recent, then the top one would normally, as long as you've been online, would be downloaded.
Okay.
The podcasts themselves are ordered by the most recently updated podcast,
right.
And then within that podcast, the most recent one is at the top, if you sort by date, most recently received, and it will always be downloaded, unless you have specifically said, don't download this podcast automatically.
Steve, I have mine set to download all podcasts, so if I had them all, one of two different scenarios, either if I set this, just let this sit all night and download my 1,100 podcasts I'm behind, it wouldn't be a problem. Or if, like, you know, we were talking about, if I just had my top three podcasts downloaded, it wouldn't be a problem either, but in this scenario,
In this scenario, it's a problem, though, because we just had a mess of them that weren't downloaded.
Well, we maybe do this, and maybe say we want to hear that one.
Menu. Update podcast. Show all unsubscribe. Copy pod show description. Rating. Copy. Delete. Consolidate tracks. Get album up. Download podcast episode.
And if you just wanted to see it at one podcast, you could just download it now.
You are currently on a menu item. To choose this menu item, press Control.
And a lot of this may be my fault that I'm, not too diligent with deleting old podcasts and not updating my podcast as well.
Computer America Zero Status. Downloading.
And now I moved to the status column, and now it says downloading.
Can you get more information about that?
It's downloaded. That's what it's telling me. Okay.
Oh, it's done?
Yeah. Okay, now when you say more information, what information?
Like, say, well, that was very fast, but I'm a very impatient person. So say I want to know how fast it's downloading, how much more it has to go, because, I'm doing this as I'm going out the door, and I want to send it to someplace. You know what I'm saying?
I think that I have actually heard that, and I might not be able to do it now because it went too fast.
Search text feed, cover flow view switcher, grid view text 67.1%, VOP play, sources, 1164 items. 35.7 days for 7.18 gigabytes.
Because I have everything selected to download,
yeah.
It's like 3 days of downloads now. Now, if I only selected one item, and like I said, this is really because of my poor podcast maintenance. I just have bad podcast habits.
Can't
the view that I just switched to, if I were just to download one podcast, it would say how much, how long. Yeah.
Sources, tick, 1164 items.
See, it's 1164 items right now downloading. If you just did one at a time, it'd give you better...
Sources, 1164 items, 35.7 days, for 7.18 gigabytes.
Is that the download time or the total accumulated time of the podcast?
I don't think that's the time it would take to download. That's the amount of time you have listening.
Yeah.
That's the amount
that's what I think, too.
It's not
the download time. You know, if you played those 1,100 whatever podcasts back to back, it would be 35 days. That's what that number is.
Is it downloading something right now?
No.
iTunes downloads everything in the background. So you have to go find in the sources list, the downloads list, in order to go and watch the progress of the download.
That was my point.
It won't take you there automatically.
Okay, so it's not like Windows in that sense.
And can you pull up the pipe to
there's
collapse
a downloads
it?
Yes, okay.
Tab in that left sidebar.
Yeah, there's a downloads entry. When you're downloading something, even on
iTunes
for Windows,
button. Sources
okay.
Tape.
It appears in the source.
Maybe we could get more information that way.
Items store. Dialogue. Okay. Default button. Chris Hammond's library. Remote play. High genius sidebar button.
I was actually going through my sources and it came up with someone's library. The reason it did that is because I have library sharing turned on. Certainly someone else who has iTunes on their computer on this network has it turned on as well, so just let me know that there's a public.
I found one of those at work too.
Yeah.
It was kind of, it uses Bonjour as the underlying technology.
Before we started the meeting, actually went on to go cruise through this network, see who else is on, and then there's a lot of people with iTunes and stuff on it.
If you have an iPod that's not big enough to hold your whole library, then you have to be able to manually decide what you want to put on the iPod. Can you do that with VoiceOver?
Yes, I think probably the easiest way, maybe not the easiest way, but the way I would like to do that, I would create a playlist, and I would just put in whatever I wanted, and just sync only that one playlist. Or maybe a couple of playlists, but I wouldn't do the whole library.
What if I just purchased an album, and I want to move that album to my iPod?
You'd have to do it through iTunes. You rip the album with iTunes, and
I understand that. Okay. But I mean, I'm in iTunes. I've got this album that I just downloaded, that I just purchased from the iTunes store. And I need to move that album to my iPod. Do I have to create a playlist to do that?
You can optionally choose to sync the purchased music playlist. And every single song that
you
download from the iTunes store is added to that playlist for you.
Right, but that's not...
I think the answer to your question really is yes.
If you download it from the iTunes store, it'll be added to the purchase playlist, and then when you sync the iPod, it'll transfer automatically.
Right, but I'm asking, can I do it manually? Because I've purchased too much stuff to fill my iPod.
Yeah, I think the manual way to do it is to create a separate playlist.
You can create playlists, you can select by artist, only sync these selected artists, I think is one of the options. There are a whole bunch of ways that you can do it.
The reason I ask is with JTunes with Windows, you can actually select an album. You can just copy it and paste it. You copy it from the music source, you can arrow down to your iPods as a source, and you can paste it right in there. I just wonder if that works with VoiceOver.
I think the easiest thing would be to select the album, and then, as was mentioning earlier, the contextual menu.
That's one of your choices. Yeah.
And so you can just say, you know, you can type ADD and go right to add playlist, right arrow, select the playlist, and then that will sync.
Okay.
You can also drag and drop songs.
Can you drag and drop an album?
Mm-hmm. It's cumbersome using mouse operations with a non-mouse interface. Drag and drop is not really great for VoiceOver or any screen reader.
No.
How about radio instead of... podcasts.
Yeah. Movies, pod, radio, stream.
Okay. Let's, now we're in the sources, so we already know how to move to the
you
songs.
You are currently
table,
on the
so that's VoiceOver J, let's jump to it.
Interact with songs table, row 1, status.
We're in a table, so we've got rows and columns. Row 1 is a status, so let's move to the right. And so gonna...
Name, adult contemporary, collapsed level 0.
Okay. So these are the names, and this is probably where you're going to be most of the time. And these are basically, like I said, general to specific, so these are going to be major headings.
Alternative rock, ambient, blues, classic rock, collapsed level 0.
Okay, so let's say we want to pick that. claps, though we know how to do that now.
You are currently on the text field.
So, voiceover
of
pipe.
Tape, expand, classic rock, zero items enclosed.
Okay, let's go down and see what fills in.
Absolute classic rock, expanded.
Now, to answer your question.
142 items enclosed.
Okay, so there's a lot in
level
on
142. Zero.
Now, Mikey asked, could you collapse it with that? So let's do the same thing again. It should say collapse.
Collapse. Classic rock.
It's a toggle. Visually, from what I understand, that there's actually like a little... I don't know if anyone's ever used like an old-fashioned voting machine, but there's a little...
Levers.
Yeah. Someone told me that, visually speaking, is almost like a little triangle thing that looks almost like a lever to expand collapse. Yeah. So let's open it up and see what we got.
142 rows added.
Okay, that's a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Absolute classic rock. All classic hits. All southern rock.
Okay, let's say we wanted that one.
Freebird.
Okay, yeah.
You are currently on the text field in some...
Okay, so let's hit enter on that, see what happens.
Getting a playlist. Text.
Now let's see if MIT actually lets me do
all
this.
Southern rock. Text.
How did you enter it?
I just hit enter.
You are currently on the text field, inside of a table. To navigate the cells within the table, press Control, Option, and then up arrow, down arrow, left arrow, or right arrow.
I'm thinking they may not be letting me do this, and I'm not too sure about this, yeah.
These are radio stations.
These are
right?
Live streams, yeah.
You're not getting an error message either.
Bitrate 128k beep name, all southern rock.
Yeah, it's actually, let's see.
Status, play targeted.
Play
targeted. Do you have space to play?
Nah, you actually don't. You can pause it.
You are currently on the text tele.
Let's try something else. Maybe we could try even easier stream. Just make sure it's not the stream.
Name, all southern rock, the anime Atlantic Sound Factory. Getting a playlist. Text. Progress indicated. Atlantic Sound Factory.
Okay. And to change the volume, I'm just using command up and down arrows here. But since we're still on the table, let's listen to what the table, what the comms say on the table now.
Status. Playing.
Status playing.
Name. Atlantic Sound Factory.
Atlantic Sound Factory, that's the name of the stream.
Bitrate. 128 kbps.
128 kbps stream is pretty good.
Comments. 40 years of great music from the USA and UK.
And that's basically a little description.
Blank. 40 years of great music.
Now let's also, let's shift tab a little bit here and listen to some of the other things that it's going to tell us.
Go to current song button.
Go to current song button. If you do that, it actually tries to sell you the song to iTunes if
you can.
You are
currently on a button.
So that's a, if you like to want to buy stuff, that's a good way to.
Elapsed time.
Elapsed time, I think on a stream it's not really going to be any useful information there, but...
You are currently on the text element.
See if it's what it
inside
says
of interact with text. Word, space, dialogue, getting playlist, getting playlist.
Now it's rebuffering the stream. I think that's because we're on this network here.
You are currently on the text elapsed time. Getting playlist, text.
Anyway, I'm just going to stop it with the space key.
Elapsed dialogue. Getting playlist. Stop. Elapsed time.
You should be able to find the name of the song.
The song, yeah.
Right, right?
Yeah, you should.
28.2%.
Sometimes the streams don't even broadcast
slider.
That stuff.
If they do, you can get it. I've had that.
Play button. Sources. Table. 28-port songs. Table. New playlist. Show artwork. 142 streams. Sources. Play button.
This one doesn't have it, but sometimes they do. Actually, I think that's how the button that sends you to iTunes, I think that's how it picks it. Okay, so that's basically, and to stop it, I just hit the space bar.
These streams that you've got here, or that you did that, now is that stuff off of a Shoutcast server, or is it just anything it can find, or was this all iTunes?
These are the ones built into iTunes.
Okay.
I mean, you could add your own. In fact,
right.
I actually had a lot in there before today, because I wanted to take it out just to, you know, make it look like it was out-of-the-box type of experience. I
right.
had some of my own stuff.
Oh, yeah. So you could add your own... Make it look like the radio stations?
If you could get the... Yeah, if it's a live stream, you could add it in as... Yeah. I'll actually give you an idea.
Yeah, how do you do that?
You can click on an M3U playlist, for example, and that'll open in iTunes. You set iTunes as your default internet radio. And that way, if you go to, like, WBUR.com and it says, listen now, you know,
just click on
you
it.
Download a little file and that opens iTunes and that listens to the radio.
And then how do we add it?
Well, listen to this. I open up the menu bar.
iTunes, file, edit, view, control, store, advanced.
Okay, it's a bit
advanced menu. Open audio stream, ellipsis, command U. Subscribe to podcast, turn on home sharing. Sub-open audio okay. stream, ellipsis.
You would open it with that, you put in URL, and then you could just say, you know, with the context menu, you could add it to a playlist. And basically,
you are currently on a menu item.
I don't know if there's probably easier ways of doing that. I don't know if, Tom, if you know even easier
Who
ways.
It does automatically add it to the library. It adds a link to the internet.
Then if you could just put that in. If
then, that's in your library, and then you could add it to a playlist, or you could just... You know, search the entire library for the name of the radio station and hit return.
Like, one of the things that I do is I stream my own, my music library out on the internet so I can listen to it on my phone and my laptop. You don't really need to add that to anything. You could just open it as it is. Yeah, I'll give you actually, maybe we'll try that. I don't know if I could do it on this now.
Dialogue. Open audio stream. Edit text. http://. Period. LRTTEBREZESPIPSOM.
I took it out. Yeah, I just wanted it. Yeah.
/BOOMBOX:8000. Play button. Opening URL. Connecting. You are currently on the text element. Stop button.
This network's not gonna help me do it. But anyway.
You dialogue. Authentication required. Edit text. Open. Dialogue. Authentication required. Dialogue. Authentication. Play button.
Anyway, that's the procedure you would do. And or, like Tom said, easiest sometimes the way you do it is just go to, like, the website. If you know what the website is, just click the link and it'll just add it for you.
So did I understand you correctly to say that you stream your own library?
Yeah, because I use many different devices. Like, sometimes I'll be on my laptop, sometimes I'll be on my phone.
Do you stream it through iTunes or...?
Use a program. It's on actually on a PC I do it on. It's called Simplecast. Anyway, so that's basically a quick overview of iTunes. I don't want to get too deep into this because you go on for days. One thing you notice that I have a different voice than Nina did.
Yeah, I was going
to
ask about that.
And if you anyone who listened to the segment from last month knows that changed. Let's assume you could go into through the menus and do all the... Certainly you could do the go through the voiceover menu and go to system preferences and all that, but there's a shortcut key for changing a lot of these preferences. That's going to be voiceover command plus the left and right arrows, and then let's do voiceover command right arrow.
Volume 100%.
Okay, first thing puts you in volume, and we could change that with down arrow.
95%, 90%.
Now let's go do the right arrow again.
Intonation 50%.
Intonation.
Voice Victoria.
This voice is Victoria. It's a little bit of a favorite of mine, and you could go up and down and change
Victoria.
It.
Victoria.
Alex.
Is Alex, that's...
And Alex is the one that comes out of the box. That's what I have. And Alex and Victoria are actually the two most common ones that people use. But there's a whole list of them.
Yeah, I'll quickly zip through what you say.
Vicky.
Agnes.
Albert.
Some of these are probably more comical than useful, but...
Oh, I like that one.
Bruce. This is deranged.
Deranged.
That's Fred. That's hysterical.
Junior. Kathy.
Pipe
organ.
Pipe organ.
Princess.
Ralph.
Thrynoids. Zorvax.
Zorvax.
Zorvax. Zorvax.
But what if you chose one of those? Would it actually try to...
It would try to beat everything in there.
It would actually... I can't even imagine what would happen if you used that pipe organ one.
That's what I wanted,
That's what I was thinking.
Why don't you try the
pipe organ?
Try
pipe organ?
Ralph.
Thrynoid, Mr. Zorvax. Zorvax, Mr.
Ralph.
Princess.
Pipe organ.
Okay. Let's try making something now.
Pipe organ.
From a surgery, he actually recreated his own voice using past episodes of his TV shows on a Mac, and it sounds like Alex because he perfected the inflection and the intonation. And
I love this. That's,
that's great.
That's hilarious.
Thank all of you for coming to
The top hit it got was Nina's meds listing, .doc. So if I wanted that, I would just open it. And there it is, it's opened. Okay, so that was just a quick, just remember command space. It searches your computer for you.
And that works like if you're in Safari in the internet and you want to search something, or if you're in email and you want to search like somebody's name.
And for those of you who notice I have 1164 podcasts, it works for podcasts too. Last time there was a question about Braille displays. If you go to apple.com/accessibility, there's a link for Braille. And then if you go down the page, go to the next heading, it tells you all the Braille displays that it's been tested with. It's actually over 40 of them right now on that list. They're pretty much keeping up with any display that is USB or Bluetooth. So they're not going back in time to the older, like, anything like a Power Braille that may use a, serial connection. There's a list there. It's about 40 or so, and these drivers are built in. So
if you just get a Braille display that's on that list and you plug it in, it's going to work.
It's going to work.
Or if it's Bluetooth, like I have a Bluetooth Braille display.
Yeah.
And that will work?
That will work.
Well, but wouldn't you still want to make sure that it was a Bluetooth that they had played with on the list? Because if they didn't, not going to be a built-in.
This is like everything I've heard of. And I know some displays could actually emulate other displays and use the same driver. So I'm guessing that the odds of something working are pretty good. There's actually a little blurb that says that if you don't see what you want to use, email us and send me a link, accessibility@apple.com. I think they're trying to make a good effort as far as the Braille goes. Yeah.
By the way, I saw an advertisement for a job looking for Apple.
Cupertino, California.
Software
engineer, It's voiceover specific.
But it's good that they're actually hiring somebody to do that.
One of the reasons is the iPod Shuffle has no screen, and you can only interact with voice.
This is making more and more inroads into the general public. Tom, you may remember this one time I was talking to you, and you had another client of yours who, a fully sighted person, who wanted to use voiceover to read stuff to her.
That was Joan. She wanted to, because frankly, even for sighted people, if you didn't start with computers in 1984, they're probably hard to use. So I used to teach at the Apple Store, and I knew a lot of people who said, I don't want to learn how to use the mouse. I want to say, open my email. I want to say, read my email. And she wanted it to be like Star Trek. Stan has trouble remembering the keyboard commands because they're arbitrary. So I've made a few Apple scripts for him that he can press a key and say, open the window chooser. And that will control voiceover so he doesn't have to remember the keys. I think the accessibility is going to make huge inroads on the mainstream.
And I think the more it makes inroads into the mainstream, the more interest by Apple and the associate, the other companies involved. Mm-hmm. That's where we're going to see most of the real advancements. Yeah.
Plus, Apple got sued. I just wanted to say something quickly about the backup. The nice thing about Mac, and Frank mentioned it last time, that you can use VoiceOver at installation. The Mac comes with backup software fully built in, and like Carbonite, it's version mod. So you can go back in time to a different version of a document. And you can use that to migrate to a new computer, save all of your settings. You can use that at startup. It's fully integrated in the system. It's not like online where it just goes into nowhere.
That's known as Time Machine, and that comes with the Mac.
So where does it back it up to?
It backs up to
another hard drive or to a network hard drive if you buy something like a Time Capsule or if you have another computer.
If your computer dies
and Apple gives you a new one, the first thing you do is
you start
it up and it says, do you want to move your data from an old Time Machine? That's the first thing it'll say.
Can you do that with an iPod too?
Yes. It'll automatically back up your entire hard drive. There is no registry to worry about, so reinstalling applications you don't have to do.
Okay.
There's also home sharing, so you can distribute your iTunes to multiple computers. Redundancy.
So do you have to have iTunes on each computer that you're distributing to?
Yes. However, only to receive the software.
Right.
Like, the music itself is no longer encumbered by protection.
Yeah. Now, one time, I don't know if this is still true, Tom, that there was some licensing restrictions on that.
There used to be, like, songs purchased before 2000 and...
That they, when if you did like the home sharing, there was like five nodes or something like that.
Yeah.
Is that still the case?
Yes, for home sharing.
Okay.
If you have a DRM app, for example, and you have 3 iPhones in your family, you can put that app on all 3 iPhones or iPod touches and still have 2 left over. The licensing is very flexible, but you need iTunes.
What does a Mac cost?
I was looking at the webpage for JAWS. JAWS costs $900.
That's the cheap version.
That's the cheap version. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. For that plus the cost of a cheap PC, for less than that, you can get with... This lady has in front of me, which is the $999 MacBook, which has all the screen reading built in.
And the magnifier.
And the screen magnifier.
And I can say that Frank bought his, he had talked about this at the last meeting, from the Maxto, the web, from the webpage, the refurbished model. So do you, is that what it's called?
Yeah, if you go to store.apple.com, there's a link for refurbs, and usually fairly cheap, get some good deals. With that said, if you do want a new Mac, and you know, if you're looking for a desktop-style Mac, there's like a mini that I think starts at like $599 time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you would need a monitor. That 13-inch laptop she has is the $999. They're like five and a half pounds.
One thing I noticed with the refurbs, check the website frequently, because they don't have the same things, and sometimes they really want to move things. Actually, when they were moving from the like the polycarbonate ones that you're holding there to the aluminum ones, I think I saw that they actually went down to like $799.
Does Apple have a version of the netbook?
Yeah, the iPad. It's coming out April 3rd.
It might be good to elaborate about the iPad. It's meant to be very portable, but it won't have a keyboard as on the screen. Is that correct?
It has the on-screen, but it can also use a Bluetooth. It's not a clamshell design like laptops are and netbooks.
Thank you guys very much. This is